called the Day of the Lord. I think this expression, Day of the Lord, occurs some 23 times in the writings of the prophets and in the New Testament. And that day, that kind of an expression, occurs maybe 50 or more times referring to it. And this begins with unparalleled judgment, disturbances in the heavens. And going back to Joel just a moment, to the second chapter of Joel, and the first verse, the last clause of the verse, says, "The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like." Then in the 11th verse, "The day the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong, that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" And then in the 31st verse, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Again, in the 14th verse of the third chapter, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision," that's the valley of judgment, "for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Matthew 24:29 says that the sun would be darkened. Elsewhere read of it, and we can read of it, and we've read it so much that we read of it casually. We don't give it a lot of thought, but I'm going to get ahead of the story just a little bit and turn to Zephaniah. We'll be coming there shortly anyway, the Lord willing. But notice, I'll not read the whole chapter, but in the 15th verse, that day is a day of wrath. Preceding this, in the 8th verse, he speaks of the day of the Lord's sacrifice. And here he says, well, the 14th verse, he calls it the great day of the Lord. And in the 15th verse, that day is a day of wrath, and a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, that's war, an alarm against the fenced cities, and I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men. Did you ever watch a blind man walk? A blind man has his own walk. Watch the next one you see, and you'll see that normally he'll put his toes down before he does his heels. And because they have sinned against the Lord, and we read that the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now that's, we can't comprehend what it's going to be like. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Alas for the day, for it is great. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. And during that day will come what we call the great tribulation." Then after that's ended, the day of the Lord will run over the millennial age, but it is it begins in unparalleled earthly judgments. Here it is stated that the sun shall go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. Now this is coming on Israel. I will bring up sackcloth upon your loins and baldness upon every head. I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and end thereof as a bitter day. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. One time there was a man, and he became angry with the priests of the Lord, and he had 80 of them killed. He chased another man out of his kingdom who knew the Lord." And I'm going to turn to the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel and read to you about that man and how he wanted the word of the Lord. But he had cut off his whole contact. In the 28th chapter we read, the 3rd verse, "Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Then there was a war." And the 6th verse says, "When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Now he wanted the word of the Lord. He wanted it more than he'd ever wanted it in his life. But he cut off his conduct. And then he said, "Get me a woman that has a familiar spirit. I'll turn to the devil's way." And he did. And Brother Copley wrote one time and said, "If you don't want what you need, someday you will need what you want." Now Saul didn't want what he needed, but the day came when he wanted what he needed, but he couldn't have it. The Lord just wouldn't answer him. He had killed the priest of the Lord, and he had chased David out of the kingdom. He had rebelled, and now this is going to happen to Israel. There will be a different kind of a famine. To you who are dependent on the word of the Lord as you come to be after you're saved, can you think of anything much worse happening to anybody in this life than just not having the word of the Lord and the Lord refusing to say a thing to you? Wouldn't it be a plight to be in? Well, I'm glad I don't look forward to such an experience. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro. I guess the reason they didn't go from the north to the south, that'd have been over in the kingdom of Judah. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgin and young man faint for thirst. And they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth. Now, there was one of the idol gods that Jeroboam had set up. It was a calf. Was set up in Dan, in the manner of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise again. God pronounces judgments at times, and they're absolutely terrible. In chapter 9, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, Smite the lintel of the door. The Lord usually met the people at the altar in sacrifice. Not so at this point. You remember, Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now this man prophesied in the days of Uzziah. You can read it in the sixth chapter of his book, an intensely interesting chapter or section, because when John interprets it in John 12, he said that it was Christ. These things he said Isaiah, when he saw him and spoke of his glory. And the Lord said, Smite the posts, that the posts may shake. Cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, that is, he won't get very far. He that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. When Zedekiah, he was in Jerusalem, he was the last king that reigned. When he fled, they captured him, punched his eyes out, then took him to Babylon, and he died there. Now notice this, though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them, and though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, that was a mountain, that was where Elijah killed the prophets of Baal, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. What attribute of God would you say is being manifested here? Omnipresence. Solomon said, Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I built. And we may go where we will, you can't even hide a thought from God, much less your person. I can remember that it was quite a fearful thing when I came to realize that God knew all about me. And I can remember this pointedly. A man got up and testified that he was glad the Lord knew all about him. And I was sitting in the meeting, and I registered the emotion that I was sorry he knew all about me. One good thing about it, despite everything that I was, God knew all about me and still loved me. And people think they can hide from God. Now this is a joke, but it illustrates how some people feel. A drunk man came home one night, and his wife was a Christian, and he was real sick, and he asked her to pray for him, according to the story, and she started out, Lord, help my poor drunk husband. He said, Don't tell him I'm drunk. Well, now that is some people's concept of God. Maybe he won't know. There are a number of passages in the prophets that showed that Israel thought that God didn't know. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. It is said that in the Roman Empire, it was considered if a man was a criminal, the empire was a prison. It was extremely hard for him to escape. They were everywhere. I get a little amused that people stack their intelligence against the FBI, and you know that not many of them escape ultimately. They may for a while. I knew a man in Denver. He's still over here in the federal penitentiary. He went to Nebraska and robbed a bank. Got caught before he got out of town. I saw him a couple of times over there. Now, he stacked himself up against the laws of the land, and I have known this to happen so many times. And if the laws of our land have ways of catching people, And it's almost strange how they do get caught. God doesn't need any of those things. God knows where every individual is right now and what his name is and what he's doing and what he's thinking. Now, David said, such knowledge is too great for me. I can't attain to it. I could study and go to school all of my life. It isn't possible for me to have that kind of knowledge. My brain isn't. It would be like trying to put a ton of dirt in a pint jar. Humanly speaking, it can't be done. The astronomers talking about one of the black holes in the sky said the earth could become a black hole if you could compress it to the size of a marble. Well, God could do that, but you couldn't. But there is no escaping the Lord. His omniscience and his omnipresence, knowing everything and being there, and then his omnipotence. He can do what he wants to do. I think that's one of the reasons the Lord so rarely raises up his power against man. I think God could destroy me easier than I can destroy a bug if he wanted to do so, but he doesn't choose to do so. The Lord God of hosts, God of hosts is simply the God of armies, is he that toucheth the land and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. It shall rise up wholly like a flood and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. That is like the Red Sea that came back on Pharaoh's host. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. You think for a moment, the Lord rained fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord caused Sarah to become a mother when she was 90 years of age. The Lord caused Aaron's rod in one night, a dead stick, to bud buds and blossoms and bear almonds. Quite an accomplishment, wasn't it? And we could point to so many other things. Jesus walking on the water, turning the water into wine. When he said to Moses, I'm going to feed this people meat for 30 days till it run out of their noses. And Moses said, the people among who I am, I'm 600,000 footmen. There were over 600,000 soldiers. And you said, I'll feed them meat for 30 days. Shall all the herds be killed? Or all the fish of the sea be brought? And the Lord said, is the Lord's hand shortened? You'll see whether I'll do it or not. And it's always been a little comical to me, the Lord fed them quail. And he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. That would have been a little over 800 gallons per man. They were really hoggish, weren't they? Now he said, are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his color or the leopard change his spots? And they were a heathen people. God didn't pay much attention to them. He said, now Israel, you're just like the children of Ethiopians to me. Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt and the Philistines from Kaphtor? There are some things that are not detailed in history. We have different places where the Philistines came from Kaphtor, but the circumstances of how they came we do not know. The Syrians from Kir. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. In 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the prophet was reproving Asa, I believe, and he said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. That's a good one to commit to memory. You may need it sometime. But here the Lord's eyes are upon the people. I will sift them. Well, he said first, I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, that is, as a kingdom, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, as a kingdom, they were destroyed. As a people, they were not. I think you can see the difference. We could cease to be a nation. Some nation could subjugate us and come in and bring in an entirely different kind of a government, but we'd still be a people. So that's what happened here. I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall unto the earth. We can't quite imagine the way people used to save their wheat, their grain, their rye, and their barley, and their wheat. They ate it many times without grinding it, and I have watched them grind it with a pestle and mortar. Hear sounds all over the village like that as we ground their breakfast. piece of a hollow log about so big around, stand up there with a hard stick and grind their whatever kind of grain, and then they would boil it in some kind of a pan, something about the size of an oatmeal dish or something. I never did know what it was cooked in. Then they called it idli. It was coarse, about the consistency of overly coarse meal. Well, here the Lord speaks of sifting them like they sifted corn. They didn't have threshing machines, and where I was speaking of there, they didn't have mills to grind their food. All they had still had the stones like they ground in the Bible times. You know, it's kind of comical. We'll have a missionary come from a foreign country, and he'll get up and show us pictures and contrast it their condition with the most modern nation in the world. And you know, we actually forget that there are tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people and some hundreds of millions that still live like they did in the Bible times, still thresh their grain with oxen, still reap with a reap hook. They don't reap with a binder. They still use oxen. In Jamaica, I said to a fellow one time, he had built a church. So many churches there are built out of thatch. They take sticks and weave them together like this, in and out, and make the walls. Lots of rock. And I said to a preacher one day, why don't you make those walls out of rock? Oh, he said, that'd take a donkey. They'd have to have a donkey to move those. And he didn't have a donkey. Well, it'd be almost comical here to see a man moving something with a donkey, wouldn't it? Well, that's the figure that is used. Israel is going to be sifted, but not a grain would be lost. But all the sinners of my people shall die with a sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And isn't it interesting how the devil blinds the minds of people until somehow they just feel secure. It's not going to happen. This 11th and 12th verses, or the 11th verse rather, is quoted by James at the conference in Jerusalem. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle. Brother Eggers, maybe you'd turn to Acts 15 and read the 16, 17 verses, and after I've read this, well, you may read it there. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up his ruins, and I will build again as in the days of old. Read it, if you will.
After this I'll return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.
So you see, Amos is very freely quoted in the New Testament. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Now here are the blessings that are going to come in the future. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. The crops will be so long, like, let's say, they'll still be cutting beans and milo and corn when it will be time to plant a new crop. That's how big the crops will be. And all the hills shall melt. I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God.